as we forgive those who trespass against us. Welcome to episode 43 of Anglican Catechesis, where we're learning to follow Jesus on the Anglican way. Today, we'll be covering questions 199 through 201 in To Be a Christian in Anglican Catechism, the official catechism of the Anglican Church in North America. I'm Father Kurt Hein, rector of Light of Christ Anglican Church here in Georgetown, Texas, joined today by my co-catechist, Father Isaac Rayberg, rector of All Saints Anglican Church in San Antonio, Texas. But before we begin, let's start with prayer.
This is the prayer for the unity of the church in the 2019 Book of Common Prayer. Lord Jesus Christ, you said to your apostles, "Peace I give to you, my own peace I leave with you. Regard not our sins, but the faith of your church, and give to us the peace and unity of that heavenly city, where with the Father and the Holy Spirit you live and reign, now and forever. Amen."
Amen. Amen. So question 199, Isaac, why should you forgive others?
I should forgive others because while I was still a sinner, God forgave me through Jesus Christ. Failing to forgive impedes God's work in my life and gives opportunity to the evil one.
So first we're told we need to forgive because we have been forgiven. And it cites Colossians 3, 12 through 13. Put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another. And if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive.
Yeah, that's really important. I mean, I'm reminded of the parable of the not the unjust steward, but the maybe it was the unjust steward, the one who didn't forgive his fellow servant, and after he was forgiven all an unforgivable, you know, an unpayable amount of money.
Yeah, not the unjust steward. I forget what they call it, but it's the...
Yeah, I'm getting my unjust parables mixed up.
it's the man that's forgiven much, but then he goes and tries to exact it from his fellow servant for a far less quantity.
Right.
So he's been forgiven something like billions of dollars, and then he's trying to extract a few, you know, 10K from his fellow servant.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, that's the kind of thing that parable is obviously trying to teach. But there's this other part here that failing to forgive impedes God's work in my life, gives opportunity to the evil one. So not only is it something that you owe each other because of what God has done for you, but you kind of owe it to yourself.
Right. Yeah. I mean, the first part talks about how, yes, we need to understand in order to forgive, we have to understand that we really aren't better than other people insofar as we are all in need of forgiveness, right? So we are all in debt in terms of, to use that as a metaphor, because we've all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So we're all recipients of this incredibly gracious and bountiful gift of forgiveness. And so it's only right that we would share, you know, it's only right that we share that goodness, right? If someone gives you something good, it's very natural. It's very right to share the good thing that you've been given. There's something very weird about not. It's like, it would be like somebody who is cured from their cancer and then isn't motivated to go and give that cure to others, right?
Right.
And so we've received forgiveness. And so the right thing to do is to share that gift of forgiveness by also extending forgiveness to other people. But then on the other side of this, as you mentioned, it also helps us, right? It's not only helping others, but forgiving actually helps us, because to fail to forgive actually stops God's work from being able to happen in our life.
Yeah. And I might say it's less an issue that we're holding God back than we're refusing to receive the grace that he's giving us, because that, you know, that's a block for receiving his grace. Not tying his hands, it's tying ours.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. It's like, well, I think I've used this before, but like if you have a cup and it needs to be upright in order to be filled.
Yeah.
But if we're living a life of unforgiveness, I mean, really what we're doing is this, is we're closing ourselves off to God. And I like to think about it like the heart has one door, right? And that same door receives God's forgiveness. This the same door that receives God's forgiveness and receives lets the grace of God in is the same one that gives forgiveness to others. Yeah. So if you close that door, you've closed off your heart. If you close off your heart to your fellow brother, your fellow man, then you've also closed off your heart to God.
Yeah, absolutely. So how do you forgive others? Question number 200.
Yeah. Forgiveness is a decision of my will and an attitude of my heart that seeks the good of my neighbor and chooses not to hold against them the damage they have inflicted. I forgive whether they have asked for forgiveness or not.
I think it's very important that our answer begins by speaking of it as a decision of the will.
Mm.
I recall one time we had a parishioner who was having troubles feeling forgiveness and so wouldn't take communion. And I talked to this person. I said, okay, what's going on? You know, well, I haven't forgiven. She's like, I want to forgive. I just don't feel like I've done it. I'm like, well, take communion because, you know, the fact that you have chosen to is irregardless of your feelings.
Yeah, right.
Or it's regardless of things.
Decision of the will is really important here. And this is a hang up for a lot of people. I don't feel like it.
Yeah.
Well, this is a decision that you make. And the decision is objective. You're saying, I'm going to seek the good of my neighbor, right? And though that's another way of saying love. Right? Right. Seek the good of another is love. And so you are making a decision of the will that you are going to, even though this person has wronged you, you're going to seek their good. You're going to love them.
And the change of heart that comes with making that decision and seeking that good, that can be a bit of a process. I mean, it's not everything doesn't happen because you've made a split decision,
right?
But that decision is the most important heavy lifting of forgiveness.
And many times that decision looks like many decisions through time to do this. And also another thing I see that hangs people up is they think that forgiveness is to say that what was done to them was okay.
Right, right.
But what was done, forgiveness is actually opposite of that. It's saying, no, what was done to me was not okay. And that goes along with this second phrase here, and chooses not to hold against them the damages that they have inflicted. And so the damage is real.
Mm-hmm.
And forgiveness is saying, yes, this damage is real, but I am not going to hold that against you.
I'm not going to see as you owing me something.
Right.
I'm releasing you from that debt to me.
And forgiveness simply does mean to release.
Yeah.
It's the same word in Greek. And then I like the second sentence here. I forgive whether they have asked for forgiveness or not.
That's really important. Yeah. Forgiveness is not a two-way street. It doesn't have to be. It's nice when it is, but it doesn't have to be.
Yeah. And this is same with the forgiveness of God. I mean, we do ask for his forgiveness and we receive it when we ask for it. However, the forgiveness has already happened.
Right.
It happened 2,000 years ago at the cross. This is what Paul teaches us, that in Christ, he reconciled the world to himself. And so the forgiveness has already been won. The forgiveness has already been given, but it is not received, right, until we ask for it. And similarly, although there is a difference between God and man, but similarly between man and man, when we forgive them, whether they ask for it or not, but the relationship can only really begin to be restored when there is repentance on the other side.
Right.
Right. When there is an asking for forgiveness, then there can be trust that's built and a relationship built based upon that. So, but the act of forgiveness is unilateral.
And when it comes to this is one of the areas where our approach to even if we want to call it this sacramental confession is a bit different from kind of popular perspectives in the Middle Ages, is that, you know, we're not going to sacramental confession because if we don't, we won't be forgiven. Mm. We're going to get the grace that comes when we seek that act of repentance. And when we seek the grace that God has already offered.
Right. Like you said, God is not the one that's bound here.
Right.
We are.
Right.
It's our heart opening up to the gift that's already been given to us in our baptisms. I mean, that's what's happening in confession. So 201, will your forgiveness of others always result in reconciliation?
No. Though my decision and desire to forgive may not result in my neighbor's repentance or our reconciliation, I'm still called to forgive.
Yeah.
And I think reconciliation should always be a goal, but it might not be a goal that's met. And, you know, if you've done all you can, then you've done all you can to make the reconciliation happen. You still need to forgive.
And God is not calling us to be a doormat. I mean, Jesus was not a doormat.
Right.
Although he's often depicted as such, the crucifixion was not him being a doormat. That's a choice he made. But you know, in certain situations where you're harmed and that's exhibited as a pattern of behavior, so you're being harmed over and over again, it's very wise not to be in a close relationship with that person. In fact, it may be important for you not to be in order for you to properly love others and love yourself as God called you to. So, and to love that person, because it's not loving to give a person means by which they can sin, right?
That's right. That's
you know, you don't give an alcoholic alcohol. So I think this is a very important distinction that we need to really understand, is the distinction between forgiveness and the distinction between that and trust and actually true reconciliation and friendship that's based upon trust. That relationship is based upon trust, because yeah, you can forgive somebody and release them from the damages that they have done for you. And that opens up the hope, right? It opens up the possibility of there actually being relational reconciliation. But until there's repentance on the other person's, in the other person's heart, and trust to be rebuilt, all of that needs to happen for there to be the reconciliation of these two parties.
Yeah, absolutely.
So.
And I think that's a, that's pretty much it as far as forgiving those who trespass against us.
Yeah, and I think I'd like to end this section by just saying that this is really important. Forgiveness is a non-optional behavior and activity for the Christian. And it's very, very important that we make sure that we are not holding resentment in our heart and that we are actively making this decision to forgive. Because if we do not, it will keep us from growing in the Lord. It will keep us from flourishing. It will keep us from the blessedness that God wants in our life. So if you're dealing with resentment, if you're having a hard time with this, talk to your pastor. That's get right. Pastoral help. This is critical. This is critical stuff here.
Yeah, absolutely. That's one of the reasons why we're here as priests, is to help you get through these things.
And the other thing is that, you know, forgiveness, because it's so misunderstood, a pastor can help you discern the difference between forgiveness and trust and how that will look like in your particular situation as well. So you can live in the freedom of forgiveness, but not put yourself in a position where you're getting hurt or you're giving someone the opportunity to continue sinning.
That's right. That's right. So.
All right. Amen. Thank you for joining us for Anglican Catechesis, where we're learning to follow Jesus on the Anglican way. If you enjoyed this episode, please make sure to like, subscribe, share with your friends, and leave a comment below. You can also take Anglican Catechesis with you on the go by subscribing to the podcast. You can find the link in the YouTube description. Lord willing, we look forward to seeing you next week. Until then, may the God of hope fill us with all joy and peace in believing through the power of the Holy Spirit.